The brands we love most are those with big hearts, those who do what's right even when it's a difficult thing to do, those who help those around them even when it hurts the bottom line, and those who stand for something and drive change even in the face of adversity. These are the brands that make the world a better place to live, and their stories must be told. In this podcast, we share their stories in hope that others will be inspired to follow. Welcome to Brand Heart.
Hello and welcome to Brand Heart. I'm your host, Jeff Friedman, and today I'm here with Brent Chidoba of Biteable. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Sure. Well, first, before we even jump in, it would be great for you to share with our listeners, what is Biteable?
So Biteable is a video creation platform. And so we allow anyone to create a video, and it's really a one-stop shop where someone, and a lot of times our customers are people that have never made video and shared it on the web before, where someone can come in with an idea or a message they want to communicate, whether that's to their team or to their customers, and make a video with all of the tools, animations, editing capabilities, stock photography and videos, and be able to publish a video easily and with really, really high quality.
That's great. Sounds like something everyone can use these days, as I feel like video is, even as we speak right now, video is the way we live our lives these days. So talk about, you know, how long have you guys been around for, by the way, Brent?
So the company was founded in late 2014, okay. So a little over 6 years old. The company also had its origins in Tasmania, Australia. So all three of our co-founders are from Hobart, Tasmania, where we still have a decent presence of employees. And then I was brought in about a year ago. And so we're actually a global company with roughly 50 team members and fully remote as well.
Great. So fully remote, you were brought in a year ago. So welcome to the crisis, right? you jumped into that. I'm just curious when you joined, what was it like, and how have you quickly had to adjust to the world?
I started at the very beginning of February. So my first few days on the job were a flight to Australia to meet some of our investors and team members in Sydney, and then down to Hobart, Tasmania to meet a lot of the existing team.
Wow.
And, COVID was beginning. So it was kind of like, be safe in airports when traveling at that time. And when I came back, I was there for about a week. When I came back, it was clear that this was going to become more important. And then over the next month, a lot of things changed when things started to shut down, conferences canceled, all that kind of stuff. And so in my first month on the job, global pandemic, business shut down. And what I would say is it was actually not the worst time to be a new CEO, particularly in a situation where you had a remote team. Everyone was listening and saying, how does this affect our business? How does this change things? Are we safe? Are our customers okay? Like, what can we do?
Right.
And so it was actually a great time. And I have a great, partnership with all of our co-founders who were very supportive and saying, hey, let's grab this. We, being in online video creation, it was a space that customers actually flocked to. And so we didn't see our business negatively impacted. And so that was great for us to have the comfort that hey, we don't know how this is going to play out, but right now we haven't seen a huge decline in our business. And so we can try to use what we do for good. But also for me, it was reassuring the company and just trying to figure out how do we navigate this stuff and how do we communicate a ton to the team. So it went from, I think the company was doing monthly all hands to where we're doing like a couple times a week, just making sure we're really staying in touch with our team.
Wow. So it definitely, I'm sure it was different from what you expected. And in turn, oftentimes, we hear about these COVID stories where, they're planning for the worst and letting people go. And how do we deal with remote? You were almost in the opposite situation, which is everybody's already remote. So you're somewhat used to that environment. And what about staffing? Did you have to grow staff? Did you have to think about hiring during this time? How did that impact you?
So in the first couple of weeks, as we were sort of figuring out what's going to happen, we basically said, okay, we're in a fortunate position in that our team is fully remote. And so we don't have to worry about there was a few folks on our team who worked in co-working facilities, and they were able to get to sort of like home locations, mostly in Australia. And so we said, great, that's a benefit we have of being remote. And what happens if our business, you know, really takes a hit? And we have a lot of customers that are small and medium businesses who were struggling a lot at that time. And so we basically said, okay, let's have some plans in place so that we can act quickly if we need to and sort of be ready for things. And how does that impact our spending? The last thing, that as a startup, you need all the people and resources that you have. You're generally running pretty lean anyway, and so you can't afford to change much. And so we said, what are the things that we could cut? What are the spending areas that are more variable and flexible if we need to? And let's just keep a very close eye on those things. And then we didn't find the need to. We did see our business continue to go according to our plan. There was a couple months early in the pandemic that we saw a boost in new users and activity. And so decided to proceed with our kind of hiring agenda. And a lot of it, we did shift a little bit of our focus based on sort of the new reality and some of the users that were coming in, where we saw a lot of a surge of small businesses trying to figure out how do they get messages to their customers? How do they share information about new service offerings? And then a lot of internal communications that was about HR and executives communicating with their teams. And so we wanted to think, how do we get the content that's going to help them?
Interesting. Well, like you said, you went from monthly all hands meetings to, you know, a couple times a week, and that can get tiring. I think, you know, we might not have known it in March, but we definitely know it now, Zoom fatigue. And it's like on these calls all day, and sometimes, and then the after hours calls, it's a lot. But video is kind of has turned into be one of the solutions. And so I imagine you're helping companies with that internal communication to do those things that, you know, maybe we used to maybe do in a quarterly meeting. What types of messaging are you most helping with? What type of that internal communications are you doing?
So the stuff that we're, you know, working on is saying, how do we take the features of what our product does and explain what is the actual benefit that customers are getting out of it? And the more customers I talk to, and even when we talk about our employees, like, what is it that we do well? What makes you most excited and inspired? It's about getting people to take action. And so if I think of the internal communications, if you're an HR manager rolling out a new benefits program, that content can be a little bit boring. It can often have low engagement rates, but if you're able to weave in an exciting video and take a, you know, a 200 word email and put it into a 25 second video that highlights the most important things and get someone to look and get someone to reply and say, hey, how'd you do that? Like, that was really cool. I would have never thought, you know, contributing to my 401k mattered this much or was this smart to do. And so I think for us, it's all those messages that are often email, PowerPoint, low response and engagement rates, and turning them into action. And so to your question, I think it's some of it's the policies, procedure, some of it's new information that people have to know. And so announcements, updates, guest speakers coming into the office and sort of hyping up a lot of those activities, announcing new hires, new departures, kind of helping people, you know, people that leave the company, sometimes it's a great thing. They got a great new job opportunity. They've served for several years and you want to celebrate them. You know, doing that in at the bottom of an email on a monthly or weekly company announcement may not kind of give the credit that's due or be as transparent as a company wants to be. So making templates that can do great onboarding and kind of offboarding type announcements are things that we've seen be really popular.
Interesting. Yeah, you can see how that can definitely boost internal communications. I imagine also during this time, like, you know, it feels like there's more and more, I mean, even just messages around what's going on in the world, you know, the response to all the craziness of the world, you know, messages from CEOs kind of reaching out to their employees about that, or even to the point of just thank you messages, whether you're in a hospital or others, to thank employees for their work. Sometimes that has become so much more important during these times. How are you helping companies with that? Or is that something you're seeing growth in? I'm curious.
That is, those two use cases are probably two of the most important ones that we saw last year, where companies figuring out, okay, there's all this new information that we need to communicate. And one thing is we just need to acknowledge things, get in front of it, be faster. Our customers would appreciate transparency and speed over us waiting and trying to polish a message and it not sounding, right. Not sounding authentic. And so I'd say there's a few categories of things that are very important from a both internal and customer communications. One is just announcing and acknowledging, like you've got to be fast, whether it's COVID related or beyond, when there's like a something important, whether, you know, things with equality movements and stuff like that, companies just saying, this matters to us and here's what we're doing about it, or here's how we think about it to their employees, to their customers. So that we saw getting a long email feels like everything else, but a genuine recorded, you know, video from a CEO or leadership team, and then putting some polish on that with like a biteable video we saw very popular. A second was really change management, whether that's, hey, we're no longer going to be in the office. The new policy is that you can work from home 4 days a week, and this is going to last until, you know, 2022, those kind of messages where, how do you make sure you get that across? Use different formats, whether that's the company intranet and wikis and things like that. A video is going to be very powerful. A video can also be distributed in email, in Slack, in text messages. And so I think we saw that popular, like how do you communicate change to both customers and employees of new services you're offering? And then the third, as you mentioned, and I'll mention a customer use case that is one of my favorite, which is a woman who runs HR for a hospital group. And I think they have locations across the East Coast, I think combination of Massachusetts, Florida, Pennsylvania. And she had reached out asking for help on ways to thank frontline healthcare workers. They were seeing turnover in ways that they'd never seen before, just from burnout, from obviously the stresses of the past year. And they didn't have a great way to just say thank you to teams, to individuals. They wanted to be able to have let their CEO send a message to people directly, but they couldn't meet in person. They had to onboard tons of new employees. So how do they get kind of the values and the mission and the important stuff that they're doing into the hands of new team members? And so for us, we had shifted our business over the course of last year to create lots of these sort of thank you, congratulations messages, so that someone that might have been making their first video ever could go in and pick a template, upload a photo of someone that they were saying congratulations to, change some text to, you know, describe the accomplishment that they were celebrating, change some colors and formatting to match their brand, and then sort of press publish and be able to share that in all sorts of ways.
That's great. I mean, I imagine, you know, you probably, the templates you had a year ago are probably much different from the templates you're creating now. I mean, have you, what other, you just mentioned the thank you template, what other types of templates has your team kind of shifted toward to help with communications these days?
I think the biggest shift we've made is going from a lot of, and we still do a lot of social media and marketing related templates, that are helping someone do TikTok ads or explain their product or service in, you know, 15 seconds or less that might be a social media post. Where we've seen, we think even bigger opportunity is with internal communications and team-based communication professionals. And so some of the things I mentioned of how do you explain a new policy or procedure? And that can be so different. Like if it's something about safety for a UK-based company that has a certain set of regulations, that's tough. But for us, thinking through what's the right way to communicate any change message and make it fun and exciting. And I think the shift for us is thinking like, okay, what are people are trying to inspire action and trying to get message retention. And they have a captive audience in some ways. So they know their email address, they know phone numbers, things like that, if it's their team or, you know, constituent group. But how do they brand it? And so for us, it's thinking just as much about the use cases as the components of what makes something great and action oriented. And so being able to brand it, put your colors, we created a whole new set of animations. And so we have lots of sort of bite-sized short animations that can be color customized in some limited ways. And we created a stack, what we call a stack, which is a set of animations that has about 200 different animations that show all different kind of emotions. And, you know, there's one of an Amazon looking package delivery driver that's showing, you know, showing up with boxes. There's vaccination animation scenes of people putting a Band-Aid on where they may have gotten a vaccination. So all of these scenes that were color and skin and hair kind of customizable so that a company could sort of we understood what are the things they're trying to communicate and what are the tools that are going to give them, you know, different ways to do that.
Wow. It sounds incredible. You know, I think when people think of video, they often think it's scary, it's difficult. And, you know, there are, you know, I'm sure there's levels of video, right? I mean, we do a lot of brand videos, which are very, very customized, but especially for internal communications. I mean, to have those templates, to be able to get a message out quickly, to get it out in a way that actually connects with audiences, like you said, makes them smile, and causes them to kind of listen to it versus read the five paragraphs. Is such an important thing, especially in these days when we're so overwhelmed with communications. You know, this is more than just great videos. It's about what video can do for an organization or for people. And I'm curious of other stories you might have of how videos have changed lives in the last year.
Yeah, and kind of to what you said about the importance of making something easy and giving people that may fear video. And video is still, it's complicated. There's a million decisions that you have to make. A single static image is hard enough to do great graphic design. And most people are not professional designers. And think about when you have to have, you know, dozens of images and scenes and timing and transitions. And so our job, which will always be our job, is to try to make that easier. One of my favorite things that has come out of some recent branding and positioning work from our team is that at least one of our employees said that our job is to get our customers a standing ovation from their audience. And so when someone sees a video that looks sort of beautiful, may have really cool animations, has this branded look and feel, and says, how did you do that? Like, what on earth? Like, I didn't know you were a professional video editor. So if you can make someone look like a pro that isn't and say, wow, that I didn't expect that. This was really cool. I normally don't read those emails. Now I'm really interested because you did it in a very thoughtful way. So that's, if we can do that, we'll be a very successful business. There's a couple customer stories that come to mind that sort of make me proud and I think help connect us to like what's kind of make our mission is to enable anyone to put their message in motion. And so when we can do that, of let someone take something they want to say, put it in motion, meaning a video, but also to drive action from the person that they're sending it to, if we can do that for good or something that helps that person accomplish their job, do better, do something right, that's always powerful. And so one that I always really like that we saw last year was a woman named Katie who was impacted by COVID and layoffs. She was a business-to-business marketer and, you know, lost her job in COVID reduction of force and decided as a smart marketer to do something clever and creative. She made a video resume and kind of clearly stood out from the crowd. She put some nice creativity into it. I think she may have used one of our templates to begin with. Had a, you know, picture of herself, her top attributes, what she'd done before, posted it on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's algorithms love video. Video is more engaging. They perform better. And so she started ranking really well and started to get hundreds, if not thousands of likes and comments. It hit our radar because someone said, how'd you make this? And I think she may have mentioned our service in there. And so just a really cool way to do things. And we've actually seen that become a really popular use case. We built tons of templates after seeing that to just give people other styles so that they didn't have to put in all the work that Katie did to figure out what is the structure to do this? What are animations that are going to help transition from work experience to what I'm looking for and background and all that kind of stuff? And so now we have, I don't know, at least a dozen of ways that people can do that on their own. We even talked to her about potential job opportunities at Biteable since we said, well, she's clearly a good marketer. When we have a need there, we want to know her. That's one example. Another one is a customer I talked to a couple months ago who is a fitness equipment retailer and really they support residential apartment buildings and complexes where they'll help outfit and design the gyms and fitness centers inside of residential buildings. And when the pandemic hit and sort of gyms closed down, they, like many businesses, were a bit frozen, like, okay, this could be really, really bad. Now that started to change when it started to realize, well, if people can't go to, you know, commercial and like public gyms, but they live in buildings, that might be, that actually might be a booming area where it's really important, you know, residential places that have great gyms might actually be in a great position. And so, but our customer, I think their biggest challenge was they were a field sales force. The way that they sold new services, talked to their customers, was showing up at these buildings and talking to the facilities and equipment managers. So they couldn't do their job. And so they had to turn to video to say, okay, how do we pivot from showing up in person to sending videos and ways that we can describe our services? And also they saw, as any, I mean, you see this with every SMB owner, they're very clever. They're very thoughtful in thinking like, how do we survive? How do we turn this into something beneficial? And so they created a sanitation service, which probably very quickly became their most popular and profitable service, to show up, wipe down equipment, do all those, all the right practices to help, help those building owners. But how do they explain that to these customers who they're used to showing up in person for? And so making videos that are new service offerings that their field reps could, you know, text message to their clients or send email. I love that. And so we actually even decided to create a small services arm to help people who needed experience making videos to find and source the right clips if it was, you know, nuanced services that they were doing. And so I think those are some of the things where it's just part of business reacting to customer demands. There just happened to be a lot of changing demands over the last 18 months.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, I'm sure, changed kind of the way you think about your customers and their needs. And, you know, I should mention that, you know, I know that there's a free version of Biteable. So, you know, you have these, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of templates that anyone listening to this can go on and play with the templates, create your own videos, whether it be thank you videos, you know, health videos, whatever it might be. This isn't just about, this isn't just about revenue for Biteable. This is about helping people get their message out and, you know, keeping their employees and customers happy and informed, which is critical during this time. Well, I'm just curious, over the last year, you've been there for a year now, just over a year. What are you most proud of?
The team, and it's just the reaction and seeing our team get stronger is probably what, you know, I'm proudest of. Our business has done some great things. I'm proud of, you know, the evolution of the product and stuff like that. But really, we've been able to, I think, engage an already strong team and attract and recruit lots of new team members. So we're almost twice the size in terms of number of people. Also crazy for me to think, having only worked in, you know, physical office locations over my career, in Silicon Valley and in Atlanta, New York, all different places where I was, you know, in the office all the time, to think that I have we have a company that half the employees have never met any of the other employees is a crazy thing to think about. But also just the talent. I think being able to provide a workplace that offers a lot of flexibility lets you do that, but it means that we're doing something that inspires them to come build. And so being able to preserve that culture, you know, over a long, tricky time period, I think is probably what helps us get excited to come into work every day, is like the people we work with. So that's definitely where I'm the most proud of, like the ability to, you know, keep what was great about our culture and try to keep enhancing it to kind of attract and retain great people.
Right. So as a CEO of a company who's come in, kind of built it during challenging times, you know, shifted a lot of, pivoted in many ways in your own, you know, in terms of content, any advice you'd give to other organizations out there?
I think the area that we've seen the most success, and a lot of what, you know, we've been talking about here today, is how do you incorporate giving back and doing good for customers? And one of the things that I think has been successful at Biteable, and I've seen success in this area in at other companies as well, when you can incorporate doing good or connect your product and the efforts of your work to things that matter, that make someone's life better, an organization's life better, solve some sort of problem, it's inspiring for the team, it's inspiring for the product. And when I first joined the company at Biteable over a year ago, one of the first things I did was clarify our mission statement and some of our values. When I asked the team, and we do, you know, cultural engagement surveys. And when we ask the team, does our mission, you know, to enable anyone to put their message in motion, do you like this? Does it matter? Does it inspire you? And a lot of our team said that they did like our mission. They thought it was great. They thought what we did mattered. But I did see comments that were like, but it's not like we're saving lives. It's not like we're on the front lines. And this is kind of early COVID, March, April, where there's sort of a lot of chaos and a lot of things happening. And I think what was interesting is when I would talk to our customers, I heard something a little bit different. Now, I don't want to pretend like we are saving lives, and that's a little bit too big of a leap. But what I heard our customers saying is like, wow, I'm glad I found you. I don't know how I'd stay in business if I couldn't get my message to people. I talked to teachers that would say, I'm running out of activities. I'm so excited that I can give Biteable to my students to submit a presentation or an essay in a new way. I have to deliver these things remotely, course and curriculum. And I love Biteable's animal animations because I can keep the attention of an 8-year-old much longer when I'm doing content that you guys help me create. And so, and then some of the hospital examples, the fitness retailer, like those things, like, well, yeah, we may not be on the front lines, but we're certainly helping people that are on the front lines. And so I think that when you can incorporate stuff in your business, and for us thinking, the example I've always thought of is when I've been in leadership positions, I always get team members that say, I support this charity. If I donate, will the company match my donation? And I think those programs are awesome when companies do that and sort of support their employees giving time back and even supporting donations. I've often worked at startups where you don't have a lot of cash and you got to use every dollar really wisely. What my approach has always been that I think should work for most businesses, particularly startups, is to say, we may not have the cash to do this. We don't allocate money to do donations at our stage. We have to sort of make sure we stay in business and keep everybody employed first and foremost. But for Biteable, well, if that nonprofit that you support needs to get their message or raise money and create video content or needs templates or help and assistance sharing their message, we can do that. We can certainly direct our team to scalable ways that will help not only that nonprofit or, you know, great organization, but lots of different ones. And I'd be more than happy to say, like, why don't we give everybody on the team a day a quarter to focus on, you know, organizations that they want to partner with to bring back and say, how can Biteable be a better product for those organizations? That is a benefit of being a product that almost any company can use. But I love to find ways that incorporate sort of doing good into the core of your business model.
Yeah. And I think even as you said, it's about thinking of your business as not a company that just makes products, but as a company that does good. I often call it, you know, some call it your purpose. I call it your happily ever after, right? What is the happily ever after your business that everybody wants? And it's not just about making video easy in your case, that's how you do it. But what you're really doing is helping in some ways, you know, if I'm listening correctly, it's you're helping organizations really further their own missions and accomplish what their purposes are, right? I mean, you're kind of giving purpose to purpose. And that's a pretty powerful thing. And I think the moment you frame your business in that way and you realize you are doing good and how can you make your product better? How can you provide your resources, put people in the right place to further that good? It not only makes your product better, it makes your people happier and it makes your customers more thankful, right?
Yep.
That's great advice. Thank you, Brent. So Brent, it was great hearing your story. Congrats on all you're doing at Biteable. If people are interested, it's biteable.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
biteable.com. So if you're interested, check it out. Brent, thanks. It was great having you on the show, and keep it going.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Brand Heart. We hope that today's episode inspired you to spread goodness and help those in need. If you know of a brand going above and beyond to help others, please share it with us via Twitter at @ShowBrandHeart. Brand Heart is a production of Small Army, a Finn Partners company. To learn more, visit smallarmy.net or finnpartners.com.